I'd like you to turn, please, to the second book of Kings. The second book of Kings and the second chapter. Second Kings in chapter 2, reading at verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, and stood to view afar off, and they two stood by Jordan. Elijah took his mantle, and wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they two went over on dry ground. It came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it, and he cried, My father, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back, and stood by the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah took rest on Elisha, and they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. You know that God will add his blessing to thee for the reading of his own precious word. Our brother has been bringing before us this afternoon the great day in Israel's calendar, the Day of Atonement. I would like to speak to you, as the Lord would give help, on Elijah's big day. For when we come to 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah's big day has come. His big moment has arrived. He's going home. Many and varied have been the ups and downs of this servant. But now in this chapter, the glory is shining before him. Earth is receding and heaven's opening. I thought if he had known Samuel Rutherford's lovely hymn, he could have sung it with all his heart that day. I wrestled on toward heaven, mid storm and wind and tide. Now like a weary traveller that leaneth on his guide, amid the shades of evening, while sinks yon lingering sand, I bid the glory dawn of Emmanuel's land. Deep waters crossed life pathway, the thorns of life were shorn, but these all lie behind me. Oh, for a well-tuned heart. Oh, for the hallelujahs with that triumphant band. Sing where glory dwelt in Emmanuel's name. Elijah's going home. I want you to notice with me this afternoon just how this saintly man would spend his last day on earth. I want you to notice the places that he will visit. I think they had a spiritual lesson for the man who would take up his mantle, Elisha. And I believe they have spiritual lessons for us all. I just wonder, my brother, my sister, how you would spend your last day. If this were your last, and mind you, it could be, it could be mine. The Lord is coming. I wonder just would I be happy the way I'm spending. I trust we'll not come to the end of the journey with any regrets. You know, we sing at times, and I love that hymn, I wish I had given him more. My brother, my sister, if you intend to give him more, give him it now. You have only one opportunity to do it. We're only passing through just the once. Don't miss the mark. If you intend to give him more, make sure you do it when you have the opportunity. Well, where did he start the day? I noticed he started at a Gilgal. I want to suggest to you, and I have to be very brief, I want to suggest to you that Gilgal is a place where pain is experienced before progress is ever made. And I'm thinking now of Joshua chapter 5. For Gilgal was Israel's first camping ground when they crossed the Jordan and were about to go into the good of the land. The land was before them. Their enemies were trembling. And you would have thought, this is the time to go in. No, God says, there are lessons to be learned at Gilgal. And the one particular lesson to be learned at Gilgal was this. They were instructed to make sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel. They were to know the knife upon the flesh. And that's a painful thing. But I want to say what progress they would make after Gilgal. And what progress, dear child of God, you and I can make when we take the knife to the flesh. We're reminded by our brethren, and rightly so, that the believer has three enemies. There's a world around with all its allurements and charms. There's a subtle enemy, the devil. But perhaps the most subtle of all is just the flesh within. And though to learn like Paul, in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Oh, that we could learn that today. Just as it were, to take the knife to the flesh. They were to circumcise again the children of Israel. It seems to me that in the wilderness experience, they had forgotten about that. That is why throughout that wilderness, there is so much murmuring among the people of God. So much complaining, so much backbiting. So many times they're hankering back to Egypt and hankering back to the world. And they've lost the appetite for divine things. They say our soul loatheth this light bread. They despise the provision, the food of God. My brother, my sister, that's just an activity of the flesh. And you need to deal with that. Gilgal, the place where pain is experienced before progress is ever made. You notice that Elijah, on his last day, will start at Gilgal. Remember, we will have the flesh with us right to the very last moment on earth. And we need to deal with it. But then you will notice that Elijah says to Elisha, he says, "Tarry here, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." "Well," says Elisha, "as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave him." And so they go down to Bethel. What's the lessons we might learn at Bethel? Well, if Gilgal is a place where pain is experienced before progress is made, I want to suggest to you about Bethel that Bethel is a place where the pillow was hard, where the presence of God was real. I'm going back to that chapter we've been speaking about already, but taking it up in a different aspect. Genesis chapter 28. You know, Bethel was Jacob's first camping ground when he left home. And what did he discover? My, he discovered the pillow was hard. I tell you, it was a hard pillow for Jacob. Leaving home, it says, the sun set upon Jacob. It was a dark day for Jacob when he arrived at Bethel. The pillow was hard. But in it all, dear child of God, the presence of God was real. Jacob came to learn that God is in this place. And God was with him in the trial. You know, I'm speaking this afternoon to many of the Lord's people. And they know what I'm talking about when I say the pillow was hard. You've been there. And maybe you are there this afternoon. For many and varied is the pathway of the child of God. Oh, my brother, my sister, could we learn this? That God has brought you through and brought you to that particular point. That even though the pillow might be hard, that the presence of God might be real. God revealed himself to Jacob at that very spot. It became to Jacob the place of adoring worship. Wasn't that true for Job? I'm thinking of chapter 1 of that book. The pillow was hard for Job. As blow after blow struck him. It says of Job, he fell upon the ground and he worshipped. It says the Lord gave. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name. That Jericho is a place where patience is tried before the power of God is seen. I'm thinking now of Joshua chapter 6. Israel has come to Jericho. It says of that city that Jericho was straitly shut up. None went out and none came in. I think that just describes the human heart. Straitly shut up. Rebelling to the claims of God. How can victory ever be won at Jericho? I notice God's instruction to his people. They were to go out with an ark, and we've heard of that already this afternoon. They were to carry out that sacred ark. It was such a beautiful picture of the person of the Lord Jesus. An ark made of incorruptible wood, speaking of his impeccable humanity, overlaid within and without with pure gold, his absolute deity. That ark with a covering of blue, telling me of the second man, the Lord out of heaven. What a sight for the men of Jericho to see. An ark going round the city, and men blowing with the trumpets. What a sound to hear. You know, I just look on Joshua chapter 6 as the work of evangelism. My, what an honor and a privilege for those Kohathites to carry that ark. To raise it high. To lift it up that all might see. You see them go round that city, that first day, and they return into the camp. And I ask you, what has happened? Now we look up at the walls, just the same as they were in the morning. Not a crack has appeared, not even a brick loose. Did anything happen that day? I tell you, my brother, my sister, something happened that day. It was this. God was honored. And we ought to remember that in the preaching of the gospel. Oh, we would love to see sinners saved. God knows our heart. But I want to assure you that when Christ is uplifted as the only Savior of sinners, every time it happens, God is glorified and God is honored. You just keep at it, my brother. God was honored that day as he saw his people moving in happy fellowship with himself and in accordance with his own word. But they'll do it the second day. And they'll do it the third day. And they'll do it the fourth day. And they'll do it the fifth day. Oh, you say, surely by now they'll catch themselves on. I tell you, Jericho is a place where patience is tried I was speaking to someone this afternoon. You're engaged in the work of God. And you say, I haven't seen very much from it. I'm getting a bit discouraged. Oh, dear child of God, I want you just to keep at it. Patience will be tried. But the power of God will be seen. And it was a great day, that seventh day. When they went out, it says they went out at the dawning of the day. And they went out after the same. I notice they come to Jordan. I cannot stop you. Yes. I would just suggest to you that Jordan is the place where the pathway is open. Before the promises of the land could be enjoyed. You remember that ark that we were speaking about was the first to go into Jordan. It was the last to come out of Jordan. But I want you to notice now that after they crossed the Jordan, Elijah turns to his friend Elisha. He says to him, ask what I shall give thee before I be taken away from thee. Well, says Elisha, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. You see, I think it has really dawned upon the heart of an Elisha that these places that Elijah has taken him to are the very places that he's going to be left to serve as God. And you'll find that he learnt that. For if you read on down the chapter and right through to chapter 4, you'll notice that Elisha just retraces the pathway. In exactly the reverse order. He goes back to Jordan and he proves the Lord God of Elijah at Jordan. And then from there he goes to Jericho. And then he goes to Bethel. And when you come to chapter 4, you find him at Gilgal. And when the truth dawns upon his heart, these are the spheres in which I'm going to labor. And what a needy, what needy spheres there were. Well might he cry. And well might you and I cry this afternoon when we think of the need around that a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Well, says Elijah, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me, when I am taken from thee, it shall be granted unto thee. But if not, it will not be granted. In other words, there was going to be a condition in receiving the double portion. And what was the condition? It was simply this. He must get his eye upon the man that goes, his eye upon the man that went up. That was true in 2 Kings 2. And it's just as equally true today. Oh, to get our eye upon the blessed man that has went up. You remember on an earlier occasion, in relation to a Moses, when he went up into the mount to the presence of God, the people lost sight of the man that went up. And they said, we don't know what's become of him. You see, dear child of God, you and I can't live in a vacuum. And if we get our eye upon off the man that has went up, we will get our eye on something else. And Israel on that occasion sadly got their eye on something else. They made a golden calf. And they turned their heart away from God. Woe to get her eye upon the man that has went up in glory. Isn't that the secret of the book of the Acts? Acts chapter 1 says they looked steadfastly at him as he went up. Look steadfastly at him. Our brother has said only his own were there. They saw that lovely man go up in glory. Not surprising, in chapter 2 I read another lovely statement. It says they continued steadfast. Don't forget chapter 1. You'll never continue steadfast if, first of all, you're not looking steadfast at the man that went up. Oh, to look steadfastly at him. And then we read they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. They had a love for the word of God. In the fellowship, they had a love for the people of God. In the breaking of bread, they had a love for the Lord himself. And they continued in the prayers. They had a love for others. You say to me, Elijah's gone. I'd rather say Elijah has arrived. He arrived that day in a sphere where never again would he ever sit under a juniper tree discouraged. He has arrived in a sphere that never more will he ever hear the taunts of a wicked Jezebel. What a moment for Elijah. What a bright prospect for every child of God. Perhaps today the Savior will come. I trust we live in the good of him. Like Elijah, we'll go up. And we'll go in. And we will arrive. Oh, it's said, oh, think. Step ashore. That's your heaven. To breathe that air, and that celestial air, to feel refreshed, and know 'tis immortality. Oh, think to step from storm and stress, to one unbroken calm, to wait, and find it. God bless you.